Jonathan Mandel is talking about the mosaic of Kobe Bryant he created in his Bala Cynwyd studio in 2010. The artwork was commissioned by Lower Merion High School, specifically for the dedication of their gym in Bryant's name.
Every one of us is a walking museum of sports, from that first ball game with your folks to maybe getting that nervous, sweaty autograph, or maybe even taking your own kids to their very first game. It's the feeling we all get. It kind of brings us back to our own personal Philly field of dreams. And the Museum of Sports Show is on the air and ready to go there with you. Our show dedicated to sports memories, memorabilia, and the museum that's going to capture it all right here in Philadelphia. We're live on the Talk 860 and Museum of Sports Facebook pages. So check us out. Museum of Sports Show brought to you by the DePucci Franklin Cardiovascular Center. They are the specialists in non-invasive treatment. And joining me from his sports cave in Greater Villanova, he is our guide and mentor, Comcast Spectacor legend, founding vice president of the Flyers and creator of the Museum of Sports, and author of the recent book, Blades, Bands, and Ballers, How Flash and Cash Rescued the Flyers and Created Philadelphia's Greatest Showplace. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Lou Scheinfeld. Hi, Lou.
Well, I don't know if I can say for the whole show today, because the Phillies are so short of pitching. They just sent me this jersey behind me, and you can see the name on it, so you know
already.
This is legit, you know. And so, you know, they put a position player in there in Cincinnati in the eighth inning, and he only gave up five runs, and they lost 13 to something or other. Mm-hmm. When I become commissioner, I'm going to prohibit. And not allow position players to pitch in a game. I think it's disgraceful. And but I'm happy to be on this show.
Well, good. It's another version of tanking, I think. Museum of Sports Director of Community Outreach, Susan Baxter, off this week today. Coming up, he preserves sports history by turning it into clothing. Well, Kyle Dixon's going to be here to tell us all about that. This is the kind of the all sports art show today here on the Museum of Sports Show.
We're very arty.
Also, what is hot and what is not, and what's affordable in the sports memorabilia market with our own king of sports collectibles, whose family is the world's largest and most valuable sports memorabilia collection. Mr. Nick DePaccia Jr. will be joining us. But up first, he's been a friend of the Museum of Sports Show since its inception. He and you probably recognize him, and you recognize a lot of his work, because he has been turning kind of sports and pop culture icons into mosaics for years. And he's now set his sights on Joel Embiid. We'll be showing a little bit of his work. And you may, if all goes according to plan, you may actually get to bid on it and maybe potentially own it. A big Museum of Sports Show. Welcome back to mosaic artist and our good friend, Mr. Jonathan Mandel. How you doing, Jonathan?
Great. How you doing?
Pretty good, pretty good. Thank you for being a late ad for us today, but you've sort of completed our sports art show today. So, and it's not often we here in the Museum of Sports Show get to have a all sports art.
We're very cultured.
We're cultured, all right. Like I said, we never break news on this. You know, if news breaks, we probably broke it into little pieces. So, John, we've been talking before and in the past. You've got pieces sort of all over the place. I guess at Citizens Bank Park, you've got it at the Independence.
Constitution Center.
Welcome Center, and I guess the subjects have ranged from, Wilt Chamberlain and Elvis and the Star of David to kind of, jazz clubs and animals and David Bowie. If you had to sort of categorize it, do you like the sports icons that you've sort of converted to kind of mosaic images, or do you like the pop end of the spectrum?
I think that it's a mix for me. I like going in all different kinds of directions. I love doing portraiture. I think that you can really tell a story in doing somebody's portrait. But I also really enjoy the back and forth, like the ballpark portrait that I did at Citizens Bank Park. It shows the action on the field and the reaction by the fans. Same with my jazz club scenes. You have the musicians playing and the audience dancing and enjoying and interacting. So it's fun to tell a story.
And we're showing a little bit. This is just kind of a little clip from your website. People will look at it and they'll say, oh, it's stained glass. When they will show some images here in a bit, but
it's a little trickier than stained glass. They're curved pieces of blown glass that come from vases and vessels from hot shops. And I get the broken curved pieces and cut them on a wet saw and make them so they precisely fit next to one another. But it's not something that would intuitively make sense to cut curved glass on a wet saw. But seems
Jonathan, when I came to your studio a couple of years ago and you blew me away with what you do and what you were working on. And I think you told me at that time that you like to make things that people can touch, because most paintings, most things, there's a velvet rope and two guards with machine guns. You can't get near it. And you make things that are real, that and actually sometimes have pieces of the event itself.
Yeah, I'm represented by the Silverman Gallery in Buckingham, PA, in Bucks County. And when we have these shows, mine is the one art where it says, please touch it. So you wouldn't want to go near the oil paintings and all that. But you were referencing a large-scale piece I did for Lower Merion High School in addition to the Kobe portrait, where it's a rendering of the campus and all the high school activities. And the image that I created of the previous high school, I actually had them knock loose brick from the facade of the old building. And I cut that down and used it to make the rendering so people could always touch the old school in perpetuity.
Yeah, you're at one of those side-by-side exhibits, and you're the guy that everybody, they're lining up to touch, and everybody else has got the velvet ropes with the two-armed guards, and they're like, that damn John Mandel. How dare he?
John, how did you get started in all this?
So back in the late 80s, in 1990, I earned an MFA, Master of Fine Arts, from University of Pennsylvania, and I was actually studying sculpture. And with sculpture, you can learn to weld or carve wood or model clay, all these techniques. Yeah. I personally could never get a weld to stick. But there was a friend of mine who was a painter who was a year ahead, who was from Egypt. And he suggested mosaic, and it just really clicked because it's very low tech. And the whole idea for me is that I shape these pieces so that when you fit one next to another, the grout lines that are formed act like drawing lines, and they make something look dimensional or have depth.
So I'm going to go ahead and share one of the screens here that you were kind enough to send me. I want to make sure I've got the right one up and sharing. This is one that's a conceptual drawing that is going to be up here first. This is the Joel Embiid. We'll go into a little bit of detail on it, a little bit about how people can potentially get in on this and maybe bid on it. But this right now physically doesn't exist. This is a, is it a computer-generated sort of conceptualization, or how would you describe it? And if you're watching on Facebook Live on Talk 860 or the Museum of Sports, you'll be able to see some of these magnificent images.
I wish I could say the computer was able to generate it, but it's me. I work using Photoshop, and I design each shape so that when one fits next to the other, like the cheekbone by the jaw or the eye, it makes it look dimensional and gives the sense that he's...
I mentioned before that we came on the air that I this is probably the worst thing you could say to an artist, but I said, could you make him a little cuter? Because he's a really warm, wonderful guy, and he's got a great smile. But tell me why you picked this pose and why you made him look like this.
Well, he's a force of nature, and there's the intensity of him on the court. And I was trying to capture his focus and just how he wills himself to the basket and just through the other players. And I was hoping to capture that spirit.
Just watching him on television or seeing a picture of him online or is that just, that's kind of your own head pulling it together?
Yeah, it's my own head pulling it together, and the background feeds into the narrative of who he is and what he does. And I really wanted to capture, I mean, he's a nice guy and all that, but I wanted to capture the force of nature aspect of his impact on the team and the league and the game. He's really a special player.
And you envision this being 30 by 30?
Well, the drawing is scaled out at 30 by 30, but it could be 60 by 60 or it could be any size. That's the wonderful part about doing the drawings is that I can then make them at whatever scale I choose once I decide to execute it in tile.
And you've been kind enough to offer to help us auction this off to the benefit of the Museum of Sports. And you've been extremely successful working with the museum downtown. What's the name of that museum?
The National Liberty Museum.
Right.
Every year they have their glass live auction event, and it's in October. And I've done it the last 12 years and have had really good success raising money for that museum. They have a wonderful message of tolerance. And
we're hoping to get this up and running by during the NBA playoffs. All the 76ers are so they've got to win just to help us get this thing moving. But will you make them prettier?
I can do anything you want. It's in the drawing phase, so it's easy to maneuver it around. But I think they're off to an amazing start, our Sixers.
Oh, it's beautiful. I really love it. It does have intensity. That it does.
Yeah, and I'll cycle through a few more of some of the sports ones, and we've got some of the pop culture ones. Now, here's another legend, Reggie White. And this one, when did you do this one, Jonathan?
So this I created as a drawing. It was actually based on a poll that came out of the Museum of Sports, top 10 Philadelphia sports legends. So I quickly gravitated to Reggie. My kids bought me an Eagles jersey, and it's a Reggie jersey, naturally.
Oh, that's excellent. And then is that Citizens Bank?
Yeah, it's in the main concourse behind home plate. It's 8 foot by 6 foot. And you can see what I was saying about the grout lines creating the illusion of the bowl of the arena and the action around the ballpark. And
there we go.
Again, tells a story. I use different stones and minerals. I learned that tumbled rose quartz works really well for rendering cotton candy. There's a cotton candy on one of the stairways. And then I've done three of these ballpark portraits. And each one I have in the lower right, a hot dog vendor handing a hot dog off to you, the viewer.
Oh, now that's interesting. Is that what was his name? Charlie Frank?
Right.
Charlie Frank. Hot dog. Get your hot dog.
I had dog. Done in 2000 a large scale Phillies Field of Dreams piece for a residential client in Wynwood. So I had large scale Phillies art to show them when they were looking for artwork for the new ballpark.
Now, you've also had people ask you to make likenesses of their dog, their pet, yeah, that meant so much to them. So people ask you to make things, whether it's someone who loves Bernie Perrant that we're showing right now, and they hang this in their living room or their drawing room over the mantle. And it's just a wonderful thing. And you were mentioning before we went on the air of something quite a big size that you just did.
Yeah, I just completed a piece for Penswood Village. It's a senior living community in Newtown, Bucks County. It's 5 foot by 30 foot. So it's the largest single piece that I've done. It took a year of my life. It has all kinds of activities that the residents do and shows the community and the Bucks County landscape. I think I'm the first person to do a miniature rendering of bocce. I don't know if that's been done before.
And Lou, I'm sure, has been demanding that you do some sort of glorious representation of him doing.
No, something. That's not true. Actually, Jonathan, unsolicited, did one and sent it to me and said I deserve to be in the Museum of Sports because of what I've accomplished in life and what I've gotten away with. I mean, I have it, and it's I actually have it on my screen, not here, but on our screen that we share among our family.
Oh, well, we need to get that on here, Lou, or maybe that can be your your headshot.
I couldn't, you know, it's
yeah.
He said the same thing with the Joel. He said, "Can you make it prettier?"
Yeah. Now that's a clear example right there of a Lou. That one I think could use some tweaking. This is of the late great Darren Dalton. And did this go somewhere, or does this belong to someone?
So this exists only as a mosaic drawing, but could certainly be commissioned. But I was just so moved by his whole story and his untimely passing that I wanted to immortalize him. He was such a key part of our team and our history.
Yeah, and a wonderful leader and a wonderful person. Now, this is Citizens Bank Park, too.
Yes, this was a residential commission. It's 4 foot by 3 foot, and it's along the first baseline. Same thing, you see the hot dog vendor in the lower right.
Oh, yeah. Right.
But I love the game of baseball, but I have friends that are steeped in the knowledge. So when I try to depict the ball being hit, I'll have my baseball expert friends. Is the shortstop in the right position relative to the ball being hit, the outfielder, and just make sure it's kosher according to how it should be.
Now, why did you make the dirt yellow?
I just wanted it to have more of a pop art feel, to be bold, like the sky color is bold blue, the grass is bold.
Well, that could be
lime green.
That could be follow the yellow brick road. Follow the yellow brick road all the way around to the Land of Oz at home plate there. And of course, for critics of baseball, they'll say, you know, mosaic art is the perfect way of capturing all the action that there isn't in baseball. Because right now, what you're seeing in this still is pretty much about the speed of the game. Although with all the new rules, you know, it's
speeded up.
Yeah, you're gonna have to update that one, John. And let me see. Now, this is the one you heard in that opening clip from 6ABC. I think that was back on the day that Kobe Bryant and his daughter and the others were killed in the helicopter crash. And this was when they were sort of talking about this. This goes back to what, 2010 for the dedication of the Bryant Gym?
Yeah, at Laura Marion. And
good. I like it.
It was great to meet him at the event. He was such a nice guy and so low key in his demeanor. There's
the picture of the family with. And what did you say? You had said something that was kind of interesting in that piece a few years ago. What did Kobe say to you when you got to meet him and he commented on the way in which you captured him in Mosaic?
I just think he enjoyed the way I was able to capture the sense of motion in a medium like Mosaic and the illusion of tension of his fingers on the ball and the rotation of his torso. He was just happy with the outcome of it. And I was happy he was happy.
And he said he was glad that you made him look handsome. And that's, I'm guessing,
Will
Chamberlain. So there was a famous artist that lived around turn of the century and painted up until the 1930s named William Henry Johnson. He was African-American and he had a very distinct style. So I wanted to give the kids a portrait of Wilt Chamberlain in the style of William Henry Johnson to give them more than just Wilt, but an extra context. It's 8 foot by 3 foot. Mm. And, just tried to capture his presence. I got to become friends with his sister, Barbara Lewis, and ended up doing a portrait of her and her husband, Elsie. It was a great experience.
And I want to pull up and give me a moment because I want to get over to that pop culture image one. I'm going to share that screen because we've got a few minutes left here. And I just love the look of all of these. They're just absolutely spectacular. I want to make sure I'm sure.
By the way, Jonathan, have you seen the statue that Dr. Depatche commissions of Muhammad Ali and Joe Frazier in the fight of the century? It is magnificent. And it's 8 feet tall, 7 feet tall. And it's Ali following through or Frazier following through with that left hook that knocks Ali down. And it's going to be sitting outside his museum that he's opening in New Jersey in June. And we hope to move it to the museum in Philadelphia when we find our site. But it is magnificent. We had it out at the Johann's Gym for a while in the Chamonix.
That's right. That's
people would just line up to look at it.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It really is.
I'm going to go very quickly here. That's obviously the inimitable David Bowie. Is that conceptual? That looks like it's an actual work there. It looks like
it is actual tile and glass gems.
And where is that? Is that somebody's private piece or?
I just completed it, so it's still in my studio. It's available for sale to the public
for a reasonable price. And of course, there's the Fab Four.
Wow. So that's a drawing. That's
Paul and George. And is that looks like it's a drawing, correct?
Yes. Yes.
All right. So people, these are the types of things you can get from the one and only Jonathan Mandel. And
I do have a question for your audience. I'd love to get a poll from the audience. You can reach out to me on Instagram at Jonathan I. Mandel. Who do you think should be the next Philadelphia sports hero that I do a portrait of after having done Joel Embiid? Any feedback that your audience has, I'd be grateful.
Absolutely. Well, we'll be adding some details up there in terms of where and how you can potentially bring the Joel Embiid mosaic to life. And we'll have that as a follow-up and a follow-up with the amazing Jonathan Mandel, mosaic artist, who has sort of captured all sorts of images. And as you said, that is at jonathanmandel.com. You can view more of his work. Jonathan, we cannot thank you enough for joining us and being such a wonderful relief pitcher for us today.
Oh, my pleasure. It's a blast always.
Fantastic. Ladies and gentlemen, Jonathan Mandel. I want to make sure all of our viewers and listeners go to the museumofsports.org to make a tax-deductible contribution so you can be part of Philly's Sports Shrine today. When we come back to this sort of de facto all-sports art show here on the Museum of Sports show, our next guest has sort of spent a career turning sports legends into clothes. When the Museum of Sports show continues right here on Talk 860 and Facebook Live, back in a couple of minutes.
It was 1967, and Philadelphia was in a rut. The economy, riots, Vietnam. That is, until the Broad Street Bullies rallied the region's spirits and brought more than 2 million into the streets to celebrate. You can read all about it in Lou Scheinfeld's candid memoir, Blades, Bands, and Ballers, available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. You'll love the inside stories about Frank Sinatra, Ed Snyder, Bernie Perrant, Frank Rizzo, Elvis Presley, the 76ers, Mick Jagger, Electric Factory Concerts, and Kate Smith. And you'll find out how Lou Scheinfeld helped Ed Snyder rescue the Flyers and, against all odds, got the Spectrum built. Blades, Bands, and Ballers. Get a signed first edition copy at themuseumofsports.org. Themuseumofsports.org. The book the Philadelphia Inquirer called a fascinating and hilarious read. Blades, Bands, and Ballers, an ode to a building that truly rocked. The Museum of Sports show is presented by Depatchi Franklin Cardiovascular and Autonomic Center. Dr. Nicholas Depatchi is a caring specialist who uses natural antioxidants, nitric oxide, and anti-inflammatory agents to treat heart disease, hypertension, palpitations, and more with minimum medicines. To learn more, please call Dr. Nicholas Depatchi, MD, FACC, author of 4 books and over 100 articles and abstracts at 856-589-6034. That's 856-589-6034.
Did you miss a recent Museum of Sports show? No worries. You can see or listen to any of our previous shows on the Museum of Sports website or on our Facebook page. You'll love our lineup of great guests, including Merrill Reese, the Eagles' Vi Sekahema, Bill Berge and Kevin Riley, Flyers broadcasters Jim Jackson and Steve Coates, and the Phillies' always colorful Larry Boa. The Museum of Sports is on the air and Facebook, and you can join the fun every Thursday, 4 to 5 p.m. on WWDB 860 and Facebook Live.
The following program is a color feature presentation on the HSN Television Network.
We're back on the Museum of Sports show here on Talk 860 and the Museum of Sports Facebook Live page is brought to you by Depatchi Franklin Cardiovascular Center. They are the specialists in non-invasive treatment. I'm Doug Scheimel along with Lou Scheinfeld. Susan is off this week. Our next guest has turned his passion for preserving sports history into kind of cool looking clothing. And he's going to sort of talk to us about kind of how he does it and the various types of things you can find and buy. But please welcome to the show for the very first time. Say hello to Mr. Kyle Dixon. How you doing, Kyle?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hey, Kyle.
Good to see you. So Lou was telling me and I guess your love of sports goes all the way back to when you were a kid, and but I guess you weren't necessarily watching live sports with your dad. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so when I was a kid, my dad had a lot of VHS tapes, and he would record all of these games from monumental NFL playoff games to basketball to tennis events, golf. And in the summertime, I'm 43 years old. So when I was a kid, in the summertime, whatever was on television was on television. And, you know, if you're a sports fanatic, you know that you only had a little slot where there might be a game on, you know, especially it may be a Phillies game or something, or it might be a TBS. I think he would get the Braves back then in the summer. And so what my dad would do, that was a period where, you know, we couldn't see a lot of the sports unless it was like US Open, Wimbledon, things like that, which came on at a specific time. So what he would do is he would go into his library of VHS tapes and he would then just pop something in and watch it as a form of entertainment. So
it's pretty wild.
Yeah. So me being a young kid, some days, you know, I would, hey, Dad, what are you watching? And we'd sit down, we'd watch them together. So as I started getting older, I started getting these, like I could just look in the library and I'd see like, you know, 1987, you know, Lakers versus this or Celtics versus Pistons, things like that. And then there were, you know, small snippets of Michael Jordan, you know, and young, you know, and I'd get to watch these. He'd tape all-star games and I could go back in time and, you know, basketball really resonated with me. So I would just watch these things. And that's kind of where I think the root of what I do now began.
That's pretty interesting because we sort of take for granted all of the live sports that we can get now. But, you know, going back, you know, 25, 30, you know, 35 years, you didn't have a lot of opportunities to watch stuff. It was all broadcast, you know, or cable. You had no streaming options. There was no NFL Sunday Ticket or MLB Network or NBA Network. It just didn't exist. So you kind of watched what the network execs told you to watch.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And that was one of those things, you know, but I got fascinated with it. You know, it made my love for sports become bigger. You know, obviously, I love basketball as my number one. But as it started going on and as I've gotten older, I started appreciating more sports. And I feel like even a sport now like golf, the way that they broadcast it is very interesting to watch now as a consumer of it sitting in my living room. Yeah. You know, when I believe, you know, years ago, they were very slow. Like they were just showing the slow, monotonous run someone walking and you got to watch that for 10 minutes until they get where they're going. And, you know, so I think nowadays, like you said, we don't appreciate as much what we're watching. There's, you know, they call great moments every day on SportsCenter, right? You get 10 every day. Right? And that's, yes. You know, so how many of those? I think that we take the word great and we overuse it and undervalue it nowadays. And it's unfortunate because, you know, what I've created, my company's called Greatness Was When. And what we do is we take monumental moments in sports, music, and world history, and we recreate it in fabric on garment so it becomes wearable art.
Now, was that your, I mean, what did you set out to do as you got older and your dad has got his thousands of VHS tapes, you've logged every one of those in your head.
Right.
And your family's probably going, oh, come on, Dad, can we get rid of some of these? Right. But did you think that somewhere along the line that was going to manifest itself in clothing, or were you looking at doing something completely different? What kind of
no clue
be into the clothing thing?
So I happened to run into some friends. Right. And a friend of mine went to Drexel School of Design. So he started making clothing and he just approached me like, hey, listen, I'm starting this clothing brand. This is what I want to do. And a lot of it had to do with music, but then a lot of it had to do with sports.
Right.
And so the sports stuff, it was just like, oh my gosh, like we can really create anything. And what we were doing we were doing a technique where we were putting rhinestones, like embellishing little pieces of an image, right? It was that simple.
Like the bedazzles, whatever they used to call it, bedazzling.
Exactly. So in all honesty, if he would have patented that beforehand, we'd be in a different level right now. But, you know, we took it for granted. And then now you see it everywhere. But this was before that took off. But anyway, so he started working with these older moments in sports history, movies, things like that. And I'm like, wow, that started to take my clock back. And I'm like,
yeah,
I can find moments. You know, I can find some really cool stuff that will make people really, really like, oh my gosh, I really remember that. But he didn't want to do it. He was stuck on what he wanted to do, and I respected that. So I said, okay, I have this idea and I have to get it out. So I just worked until I got to a point of where I'm at now. But it's been 20 plus years.
Now, Lou, I know you've got some stuff for Kyle, and you've also got some pictures we'll share. And then Kyle will have you kind of walk us through what you have in the studio there.
Yeah, let us see some of the things you had there. You sent me a couple, and we'd like to see them live as displayed. And where is your studio, by the way?
My studio is actually it's in my home. Oh. As of now, I'm fortunate enough to have a space that was really my man cave. Okay. And I just said, you know what? I think I'm just going to, I had this passion and I'm like, I'd rather hang out in my man cave and do something. So
Now what is mellow? Is that because you're very mellow?
Yeah. it's a nickname that some friends gave me, you know, years ago, and it just kind of stuck. And, you know, I've always run with it, and I'm like, you know, that's a pretty good art name. I don't really feel like Kyle's the greatest art name.
Yeah.
Although I'm sorry.
And this is 420 today. So mellow it is.
I didn't even think about the date, but you know, yeah, it works so well today, right? This is a beautiful thing. But just so I can give you a quick rundown of how I create my artwork. What I start with is what would be called like a masterpiece, right? And I don't mean it in the sense of a masterpiece, but it's just my main piece. So if you think about traditional art, where traditional artists will go and they'll paint a gigantic picture. You go to the show and you're like, hey, man, I really enjoy that, right? I really like that piece. How much is that? And an artist will say, it's X amount of dollars, which may be more than what we want to spend,
right?
Because art is expensive. But then they'll sell you a print, right? They'll say, hey, I have this print. If you want to purchase this, it's X amount of dollars. And you're like, well, I can go with the print because the print is $20, right? So what I've been able to do is I've been able to take a business model and create that for what I do in my art. Even though I make one-off pieces, I was able to take the same format and create it in my own way. So what I developed are these masterpieces, which go on your wall, and it's wood. So just think about like a bat head.
My son had a bunch of those on his walls.
Right. So this is like a fat head times 50. And it starts the collection, and then from there, my form of a print are my custom jackets, sweatshirts, t-shirts, sometimes socks, sometimes sneakers that I'm able to create artistically that go with the set of art that I'm
pretty good. All right, so you got to show us. I don't know, you want to do a little walk around there? Yeah. Or
so I have a corner,
give us a little vertigo too.
Yeah. So I was just at my desk, but, we'll kind of go through the studio a little bit. There's some different things to see, but, just so we can start with some of my, wall pieces, here we go. Right. So I have a Kobe Bryant here.
Oh, that's wonderful. Yeah. If you can push in a little on some of those, so we can see some of the detail on there.
Right. And you see like there's different materials that go into it.
Yeah.
Right. Here's a Michael Jordan one here, and there's imagery inside of it.
Those are cool as hell.
Thank you. Down to the shoes. And then as we kind of pan out, now we have like a little Larry Bird. This is this is one of the first pieces I had ever done. This piece is over 20 years old.
Wow.
And I just keep it here to always remember, and then I kind of evolved into this where you have Kareem and the goggles, right? The full leather ball.
Yeah, it's even got a little thumbtack in it. It looks a little flat there.
Right. But normally they go on wood and to see like the fine details and the Lakers and things, right? So then I also do music where I have like this Michael Jackson piece. And this is all on wood. This is carved wood. Right.
That's so spectacular. And are you sports. And Kyle, are you sort of pulling these from your mind or some of these from like legendary photos, or how do you sort of kind of pull that together? Our previous artist, it was a mosaic artist. Some are, he pulls from what he remembers of pictures. He'll conceptualize it and then he turns it into the cut glass and turns it into the mosaic.
Right.
How do you sort of arrive at that image? Or is that like a composite, athlete or artist image?
No, it's really just, I have thousands of images, right? That I just find everywhere. You know, I was that person that used to search on Google on like the 89th page for that one rare image. And I had been doing it for years, and it just became a fascination of mine to, you know, I'm just looking for imagery. I'm looking for memories. I'm looking for memories because I wanted to recapture those. Like nowadays, I can just use technology and I could actually go to a memory and pause an image and screenshot it as that. So what I wanted to start to do was bring not only the memory of players and moments, but sometimes there's different parts of a moment that we don't see. And I felt artistically, a lot of artists showcase like the same moment, right? You know, like they'll showcase Ali knocking out Liston, and it's always the same rendition of the same thing, right? So I'm going to flip around just because I was mentioning Ali. I actually have in my studio, I have a jacket here that I created. Right.
Oh, but this
is Clay and the Beatles.
Wow, that's spectacular.
Right.
And then wild.
I have some old school kind of newspapers that I, you know.
That's pretty wild. And is that on like a kind of a sweatshirt fabric or what is that?
This is a complete varsity jacket.
Oh, wow.
Right. I have. You know, I'm just going to kind of go around the room. Like,
Lou, that would look striking on you.
Yeah. With my white pants. We
have a Usain Bolt. This
wow, that's
9 foot tall Usain Bolt that I did for.
That's beautiful.
And what's that on? Is that like a what's on his chest? What is that?
So these are actually Puma sneaker tongue tags.
Huh. Oh, that's right? Incredible.
Yeah.
And here go more. Like, these are black, so they're hard to see, but. You know, you can see he's kind of running. You know, we'll kind of go around the room. I have a Mike Tyson here. You can see his belts and the fabric.
Oh, right? That's like, cool.
I have these are some of my older pieces that I created, right? So I've got Nolan Ryan here. These are like some of the first pieces I ever did when I started doing action. I've got Pete Rose, and then I created a Pete Rose jacket. And so to go with the theme of art, right, I have Clemente. You know, it's baseball season, so I'm kind of like in the season.
That's a lot of work.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's phenomenal. Yeah, where would you be if it wasn't for your dad's 500,000 VHS recorded sports collection?
You know, I don't know. You know, I think that I don't know. Like I'm very thankful for that opportunity. You know, I feel very blessed. And I just feel, if you think about sports fans now, and this is what really drove me to do this. When you think about sports fans, and I think Lou, I was saying this to you the other day, if you let's just say we're Phillies fans and you get a Roy Halladay jersey, like an authentic jersey, which is great. You get it for your birthday. You're really excited. You get tickets to a game, you go to the game and you're wearing your Roy Halladay and you're like, oh my gosh, like this feels great, right? You feel phenomenal. And then you get there and you realize that 5,000 other people have that jersey on at the game.
Right.
And you're like, wow, like Halladay. Oh, yep. Okay, cool. Like you still feel great about it, but I don't think you feel the same way about it. So I just felt like, well, what if like your favorite moment of Roy Halladay may not be the same moment as me.
Yeah.
A lot of people would say, you know, no hitter, things like that, but you just never know. You never know what someone's moment that made them like that person. So again, I'll keep showing as I'm talking. If you guys.
Oh yeah. Mind. Yeah. We've got a couple minutes left, but it's also what the thing I love about like the Ali, you know, sort of punch of the Beatles is you kind of group these kind of cultural icons from certain eras together. And that's, I guess what you mean by, you just don't know what what everybody's memory is because it's in the context of so many other things.
Right. And, you know, like I have a kind of, this is cool. I definitely have to show you this. So I kind of have a Kobe Bryant, Michael Jordan shrine. So this was Kobe because a lot of people don't remember, you know, he got drafted by the Hornets.
Right.
Some lighting here. Oh, you know, just some old school newspapers. Mm. And I created these sneakers to go with it.
Mm. Oh, that's pretty wild.
The cool thing is I'm going to show you this because you're going to want to see this, right? So again, wearable art.
Wearable.
So maybe like Laker colors, and then you have the Kobe on this side, you have the Kobe on this side. But then what we did to the sneakers is we actually...
Oh, that's what? Incredible. Right. For those of you watching on Facebook Live, this is such a visual treat here.
Thank you. And then like I have another one, Michael Jordan tribute, because this past year was the 20th anniversary of their Michael Jordan's final NBA All-Star game. And these are their rings.
Yeah, it's hard to believe so, like, that many years now.
Yeah. So
I just buying these things, Kyle, who's coming to you and buying these things? Or are they asking to commission things based on things in their own heads?
Yeah, I get collectors. Like I showcase pieces and I'll get a collector that might want to get something out of the collection that was built. Hmm. Right. As you can see, like these are more Beatles just hanging on my wall.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Right. Yeah. And then like I wrote Jackson. Hey,
Kyle, where can people find your art? What you said the company is, give me the company name again.
Yeah, it's called Greatness Was When.
And is it a greatnesswaswhen.com?
Yep, greatnesswaswhen.com. There's a website there. I'm actually getting ready to release a brand new website with all brand new collections on it. I think it's going to be an awesome treat for people. So, you know, that's normally where you can find me. You can find me on Instagram at Greatness Was When. And just follow, what I'm doing. And if you Fantastic. Ever think of a moment that you like, we can kind of drum it all up together. So.
Oh, that's wonderful. And thanks to Dad and the VHSs. GreatnessWasWhen.com is where you can find Carl Dixon's incredible wearable art, sports Thank preservationist you. And seamster. I don't even know if that's a real word. Kyle Dixon, thank you for being on the
great stuff, Kyle. Beautiful. Thank
you. That is absolutely spectacular. And send when you debut that new site, send it to Lou. We'll have you back on.
Yeah. You know what? And I do want to say this one last thing. I'm actually going to be launching a mobile art gallery this summer where I'll be going around with my artwork. And a lot of people always ask me, that same question, where can I get your work? Well, I don't really invite many people to my studio, but I'm building a mobile art gallery where you can basically, I could be in a town near you. You just never know what's going to happen this summer.
Well, great.
Once you get your tour schedule, send it to us.
Yeah, absolutely.
I will do.
GreatnessWasWhen.com. Kyle Dixon, thank you so much, man. Amazing
thank
stuff.
And thank you guys. Stay mellow.
I will. Thanks, man.
when we come back, our King of Sports Collectibles, when the Museum of Sports Show continues right here on Talk 860 and Facebook Live. Back in a moment.
Can you imagine Philadelphia without the Broad Street Bullies or its fabled Spectrum Arena? Well, it almost happened until Lou Scheinfeld and Ed Snyder, otherwise known as Flash and Cash, teamed up to rescue the Flyers and got America's Showplace up and running. It was 1967, and the world was in a whole different place. You can read all about it in Lou Scheinfeld's heartfelt memoir, Blades, Bands, and Ballers. Get a signed copy at themuseumofsports.org. Themuseumofsports.org. Blades, Bands, and Ballers, now available. The Museum of Sports Show is presented by Depatchi Franklin Cardiovascular and Autonomic Center. Dr. Nicholas Depatchi is a caring specialist who uses natural antioxidants, nitric oxide, and anti-inflammatory agents to treat shortness of breath, brain fog, chronic disease, autonomic dysfunction syndrome, and more with minimum medicines. To learn more, please call Nicholas Depatchi, MD, FACC, at 856-589-6034. That's 856-589-6034.
Who remembers the Philadelphia A's or the Warriors or the old arena at 46th and Market? We do, and that's why the Museum of Sports is being planned for Philadelphia. What's it like to face a 100-mile-an-hour fastball, ride your bike up the Manayunk Wall, or drive in the Pocono 500? We've got rare items from Babe Ruth, Mike Schmidt, Chuck Bednar, Bernie Perron, and Wilt Chamberlain. The Museum of Sports is on the air, and you can join the fun every Thursday, 4 to 5 p.m. on WWDB 860.
Hey, buddy, what can I get you? How about the ultimate sports memorabilia basement?
Welcome back to the Museum of Sports Show here on Talk 860 and Facebook Live. I'm Doug Scheimel along with Lou Scheinfeld. Susan's off this week. Museum of Sports Show brought to you by the Depatchi Franklin Cardiovascular Center. They are the experts in non-invasive treatment. And there's one of the kings of non-invasiveness right there. He is our own king of sports collectibles, whose family has the world's largest and most valuable memorabilia collection worth in excess of $35 million. And he is our proud partner in the Museum of Sports. Ladies and gentlemen, just back from Disney World, I guess, was it? Mr. Nick DiPaccio Jr., how are you, Nick?
I'm great. And Lou, I did say hi to Goofy for you.
Oh, thank you. He's a good old friend of mine.
So I have to ask you, how was Disney World, Nick, or is it still there, or has the governor turned it into a prison?
No, it's still there. And trust me, it's as packed as ever. So right. They didn't lose anybody. And it was a lot of walking. Let's put it that way. 25,000 to 30,000 steps per day.
Just as they designed it. Yeah. So I've got to ask you, we had on two wonderful guests, Jonathan Mandel, whom you've probably seen his sports mosaic art.
Yep.
So he was back on. He's got a Joel Embiid that he's working on, but he's got some spectacular things. The mural, the mosaic that was commissioned at the Lower Merion High School, Bryant Gym, I guess 13 years ago. And he got some other spectacular pieces. Very quickly, you know, I know a lot of those are privately commissioned. He pays, you know, people pay what he asks. But would things like those pieces of art, would they appreciate? I mean, would they ever show up in collections? I know you guys have Leroy Neiman stuff.
Oh, yes. No, those are very collectible. They're highly collectible. Obviously, they're one of a kind, so it's hard to put a price on them. But I mean, based on what I've seen and they're big, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, they're huge.
Huge. I mean, I wouldn't put it past one of those to go over six figures.
Really?
I can tell you it's 20.
That's really? It.
20,000.
No, it's got to be more than that, in my opinion.
No, I mean, for some of his pieces, he gets 20,000.
I'm talking about the huge ones.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's 20,
and also that 21,000 down the road. It's not the kind of thing that you can just, you know, pry off the wall and go, here you go, Nick. It's all yours for 105,000, you know.
Because when you say the mural of Kobe Bryant, I mean, I don't know the size of it, but
8 feet tall.
8 feet.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, that's what I'm talking about when I say six figures.
Six figures. Excuse me. I can't count.
Well, and then the second.
But 20,000, would be well worth one of his standard pieces, mm-hmm. definitely.
Oh, yeah.
We were talking about the statue that your family commissioned of Ali and Frazier from the fight of the century in 71. He's very familiar with it and very impressed.
Oh, yeah. Chris Collins, who designed the statue.
Right.
I mean, Lou, you and I were in his studio. That was one of the most impressive experiences that I've had, seeing an artist actually at work when he was sculpting with his fingers and his thumbs and how he was changing the facial expressions of the boxers right in front of us, making Ali look
fierce. I think your dad said he wanted Joe Frazier to look a little different or something. So he got up on a ladder and started working Joe Frazier's cheeks.
His cheeks and Ali's forehead and eyebrows, because we said he needed to look more vicious. He needed to have a more aggressive look. So, I mean, it was amazing. Yeah, and he was taking Joe's cheeks. He was taking some apparatus that he uses, and he was scraping it off and he was molding it. I mean, it was unbelievable. Wow.
That's
don't you wish we could do that with some people we know?
Well, I think there are some doctors that we can refer to.
But yeah, Lou was
doctors,
telling
we were hoping to have could make, your father on today.
Cuter.
You know. We were hoping to have Dr. DiPaccio on today as well, but he's tied up with his patients to talk about, the football player, Lamar Hamlin, is that his name?
DeMar Hamlin with the Bills.
Yeah, and coming back, being cleared to play football again, which is, quite a story.
Oh, yeah, so I have it straight from the horse's mouth. Not that the doc is a horse, but...
Seabiscuit.
Well, we do have Seabiscuit's blanket. We have his cooling blanket, as
I know.
As you know, that was in the museum, and will be in the future museum. But yeah, so here's his take on it. He would be very nervous about sending him back. He said prior to the first practice, as close as you can get to the first practice, that Hamlin should undergo extensive testing. And he means like a multitude of tests, a battery of tests, not just one EKG or one ultrasound. After that, I asked him how often he should get tested during the course of the season. And he said every 6 weeks, like clockwork.
Does he have a monitor on him? I can't remember if they implanted anything on him to monitor him in any way, shape, or form. I don't know if that's feasible to do, and particularly if you're a pro athlete, you know, absorbing that sort of shock. I mean, it was the shot to the chest that supposedly created this condition that, you know, stopped his heart.
I think certain players would be hesitant to hit him, especially, you know, to take him out with a body check, so to speak. They don't want to be accused of manslaughter. I mean, but so I'm nervous myself. Yeah.
It would be, and just from the player's standpoint, I would think that would be one of those things that specter is just hanging over your head on every play of every game, because that, you know, you can say that wasn't a very remarkable play, but a lot of times significant injury happens on what looked like kind of, you know, nothing plays.
It was a routine tackle, and that's the scary part. It happened at the exact moment that his heart was contracting. And I mean, that's happened. Unfortunately, it happens a lot with little league players, with kids that play little league, where a line drive will hit them in the chest at that exact millisecond. I mean, it's such a small window of time. It has to happen. Now, what you were saying about the players being hesitant to hit him, and who knows how he'll be. I mean, he's got to be nervous to play. He's got to be nervous to hit. So will it affect the play? I mean, that's secondary to his health, obviously, but these are all factors that are going to be interesting to watch. And we all hope that it works out for the best, and that this was just an isolated incident that occurred because of an untimely hit. And it was a routine tackle, like he was talking about. So, you know, we just hope that it was isolated.
This might be ghoulish to say, or macabre. See,
I know where you're going.
Macabre. How does this affect his collectability?
That was my question. Oh, my God.
Get it while he lasts.
It's reasonable to go there because, well, we are the Museum of Sports Show. Yes. So,
and we go there.
But you've seen a lot of fans, celebrities, other athletes wearing his jersey immediately afterwards. And still to this day, we see people wearing his jersey, his number 3. I mean, it became overnight, it became the highest selling jersey in the NFL while he was fighting for his life. And the proceeds went to his foundation. And I think he raised more in his foundation than
a record amount. I don't know what it was, but it was monstrous.
Exactly. More than he had in the previous 4 years or what have you. But yeah, that's going to be he's always going to be more collectible than he would have if he didn't have the injury. Now, he is a good player, not a Hall of Famer. It's hard to bring sports into it when you're talking about the man's life. I mean, you have to look at it objectively. And when you look at it objectively, he's not a Hall of Famer. He is a good player, but his collectability is higher than most players who are even better than him on the field because of this incident.
And what about depending on what happens with his career? Let's say he does the comeback. Maybe it doesn't go the way he wants, or he has second thoughts, or there's another complication or issue. Does that affect, going back to that ghoulish factor, Lou, but you started it, does that affect the collectability over time? Let's say he tries to make a comeback this following season. He lasts half a season, one season, and he decides, you know what, I better call it quits. Or maybe there's some sort of risk or liability or insurance thing that says it's going to be untenable for you to go back and play given the risk involved, and he doesn't play. Does that affect the collectability?
I would say that would make his memorabilia even more collectible, especially the game used memorabilia, because there wouldn't be as much out there. And a lot of collectability. We always talk about what's unique, if it's one of a kind or if it's rare, and a shorter career would mean less artifacts out there, less jerseys, less helmets, less pairs of cleats. And that would make it more collectible. But you know, we say ghoulish, but we have to look at it that way, unfortunately, when it comes to collectability, because I mean, Kobe Bryant being an
example. We were talking about that following show, you know, right after his passing.
Yeah. And I mean, his jersey, increased fivefold, his game used jerseys right after he passed away in the crash. Now, thankfully, thank God, DeMar is alive. So, but you know, it's, we see it a lot that tragedies affect how collectors react to certain players.
Yeah. Lou, we've got about 2 minutes left. You are about a minute and a half left. Lou, you want to ask the question?
Let's see. I think the question goes like this. Did Mom let you guys buy anything this week?
You know what? We're on a little bit of a hiatus. I think that was my answer last time.
That means no. She said no.
Yeah, we are putting resources in the building in Washington Township, which it's getting there. He keeps changing the date of the grand opening, but we're comfortably looking at a summer grand opening.
Excellent.
He says July. First, he said the 4th of July. I said that would be a bad idea to do it on the 4th.
Everybody's home.
Sure.
Right.
In this area.
Well, we'll keep you posted on whatever that date is. Guys, that's all the time we've got for this week. We want to thank all of our guests, sports mosaic artist Jonathan Mandel, sports preservationist and amazing clothing maker Kyle Dixon, and of course, our king of sports collectibles, Mr. Nick DePaccia Jr. And don't forget to buy Lou's recent book, Blades, Bands, and Ballers, A Flash in Cash, created Philadelphia's greatest show place at Save the Flyers. Get your custom autographed copy. You can go to museumofsports.org, and a portion of the proceeds benefits the museum. Museum of Sports Show brought to you by DePaccia Franklin Cardiovascular Center. They are the specialists in non-invasive treatment. For Lou Scheinfeld, Susan Baxter, and Nick DePaccia Jr., I'm Doug Scheimel, reminding you of what our good friend Carly Simon always says, Lou.
These are the good old days.
They are indeed. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll see you next week. Nick,
see you next week.